Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live with Kathy. We have a very special show today. You need to know when to shift your strategies to accommodate change. And I did make a change. I wanted all of you to get to know the contributing authors and choices up close and personal. I wanted you to hear their stories, how they got to where they are today, and what they had to do to get on this journey, on this incredible journey of soaring with the eagles. So fasten your seatbelts. Be ready for takeoff. You're going to soar to heights of grandeur. You're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio, the world's largest social network, reaching listeners not only locally, nationally, and internationally. Imagine reaching listeners in any country in the world. Discover what the world has to say. Now, this is only a half-hour show, but because of its intensity and the story that Rika Cuff is going to share with you, Divine Interventions, I will give you the call-in number, 347-637-3789. Email kathystudio at sbcglobal.net. Write to me, Post Office Box 95913, Hoffman Estates, Illinois, 60195. And log on kathywatsonspeaks.com and simplyageless.net. But right now, it is. Hello, Rika.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Welcome to NATO. Notable authors together optimize. Oh, our guest today, Rika Cuff, contributing author in choices, awe-inspiring choices revealed by successful entrepreneurs, introduced by Kathy Watson. On page 63, choices. By the grace of God, I will do. And I'm going to quote Rika, and then I'm going to turn the microphone over to her so she could share her stories, her epiphany that she had in 2005. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do by the grace of God, I will do. This quote has been part of my credo since I recited it first while running for student council in high school. It has had a tremendous impact on my life. Welcome, Rika. Share with us what impact I Am Only One, But I Am One has had on your life.
I will start, Kathy, by saying that I am still under construction. And my belief is that if each of us understands the intensity of that thought, we will continue to get up each morning and be excited about what this new day holds. Because we're not done. He's not done with us yet. What we see in ourselves right now is not what is going to be for the rest of our life. The circumstance is not going to be for the rest of our life. And having engaged or wrapped my arms around that quotation from when I was just a teenager, and still many years later, still wrapping my brain around it, my arms around that quotation, I realized that even more strongly what it truly means, and that is that if something is going to get done and it is your belief, my belief, that God wants me to do it, I am to do it. I need to move forward on it. I need to act on it.
Now, Rico, most people will be listening and saying, well, what is it? Was it a something that you, was it a feeling? When you say that you wrapped your arms around it, was it excitement rather than anxiety?
I have to say that it was very emotional. It was mm-hmm. a very emotional moment. I felt a sense of pain for what I saw, for people. And I guess I also felt some sense of disbelief. And I've shared this before, and I'll share it again, that when I asked a woman about my age, who looked like she had the world on her shoulders and had had such a very difficult life experience from my own, my initial thought was, no woman should have that type of burden, whatever it is, on them. No woman should have to look like that. And it was with that feeling of sadness for this person, but also disbelief in what I was experiencing and seeing, that caused me to realize that there was something that I needed to do, even though I didn't know what it was I needed to do at that moment.
All right, now let's just back up a little bit. Second paragraph. Little did I realize that what I ought to do by the grace of God I will do would change my life forever. Will, your oldest son, decided to move to the south side of Chicago in 2005. I'm Chicago bred and born. I was raised on the far, far south side of Chicago. The south side of Chicago, parts of which have a notorious reputation for rampant street crime. I didn't know, and will probably never know why Will, my adventurous son, at the age of 19, decided to make the south side of Chicago his domain. Did you ever find out why he chose that? What was his purpose? What was his mission?
It was simple. He was never afraid to explore. At the same time, he was looking for a place to live that was cheap.
Okay.
Believe me, it was cheap. We actually had to supply him with, my husband supplied him with a Bunsen burner and a little college refrigerator, because this, what some people
excuse
would
me, Rika,
garden.
Rika,
yes.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Is there something coming from your phone? I'm getting this awful beep periodically that's interrupting the conversation. And I'm on a line.
I'm sorry.
I'm
not hearing it. Oh, okay. I'm not hearing it on my end, so
no,
I don't know.
It happened again and again. Okay, so when you arrived and saw his home,
mm-hmm.
what happened?
I felt horrified. First, it was getting there off of the Ryan and Garfield and going, you know, into the area where he had chosen to live, sharing an apartment with a friend. You know, I probably am just like any other person who's never lived in an area like this. I just assumed he was going to some place that I could live, not having ever been in the area. And I get there and I discover that it's a big apartment building. He and this friend are living in the what some people would call garden apartment, which was the basement. And there was nothing there. There was no stove. There was no refrigerator. And pretty much everything that wound up in there was something that Will brought with him, or I and my husband had given to him so that he could live with some semblance of, you know, the basic needs being met.
I'm quoting Rika now. Will's scarcely livable basement space left me shaking with fear. How will he survive? So
Kathy,
you help.
Around. Mm-hmm. I looked around, and I'm telling you, what you have seen on TV that suggests, well, this place is a crack house, or they sell drugs out of there, or, you know, there's trash and rodent, whatever, all over. I mean, that's what was surrounding them. It looked as if this place had been a war zone and the world had forgotten it.
And there you left Will, your adventuresome son. And you were ready after he settled in. It was time for you to leave back to your safe, secure home in the burbs. But divine intervention, as luck would have it, her gas gauge was on empty. What happened?
I thought that I could make it there and get back at least to an area where, like Ohio, where I could get off, you know, near the Rock and Roll McDonald's, go to the gas station, get some gas. But I was concerned that I wouldn't make it, and the last thing I wanted to happen was to get stuck, you know, in that area. So I decided to go ahead and stop to get gas. Now, mind you, Kathy, I left Will hearing him say, these were his last words, lock your doors, Mom, and I love you. Call me when you get home. And as I drove away, I was looking out my rearview mirrors, and tears were welling up in my eyes. I couldn't imagine how he was going to make it, and I was afraid for his life. But, you know, that's where he chose to live, at least for that period of time, and I drove off and decided, well, let me stop and get gas. Well, when I get to the gas pump, I realize that this gas station is so old, and this is just in 2005. There was no way to be able to just use my bank card, stick it in the pump, and pump my gas. I had to get out of the car, walk, you know, about several yards to get to the little hut that was the gas station where the gas station attendant was. So, you know, with some trepidation, I locked the doors, I walked in, and as I was walking in, a woman was walking out, and this is the woman who I was telling you about earlier, caused me to stop dead in my tracks, think, but if not for God, and realize that, wow, women out here, there are women out here who do not have what I have, who do not have what I have, and their lives are so much different from my own, and not in a good way. So we did speak, our eyes met, and I was
shaken.
What
did you say? No, let's go back. Relive that. Relive it for us.
I just saw her total appearance, and it made me feel pain, as I said, for her, and then disbelief, you know, for myself. And she had an anxious look in her eyes that cemented my thought that her life was not good and had not been good, and that her experiences had not been what mine have been. And I don't think that I had the feeling that I needed to reach out to her and take her hand and necessarily say anything. I think I was at that stage of the game. I was feeling some fear, so I did what I would do anywhere else I am. And when my eyes meet a stranger's eyes, I speak, I smile and say hello. And I've always found that some people, even when they have the saddest or most downtrodden look on their face, or serious look on their face, when you smile at them and speak and acknowledge that they're a human being, they will respond likewise. And that's exactly what happened. And then she went on her way, and I went on into the station.
Now, you paid for your gas. Your heart was heavy. What were your feelings driving home? Now, 2 years before we go, we segue into 2007. What were your deep feelings about that?
I was heavy-hearted, partly because I was leaving my son in an area that looked like it had been forgotten by the world. And, of course, my heart was heavy because I was thinking of this woman and wondering how many women are out there in this area who look like that. There was, needless to say, a great deal of time, because the ride took about an hour, to think about the differences. But then I wondered, I felt this sense that there was something that I needed to do, that God would have me do. Needless to say, I had no idea what that was. And I would wind up going back over there a couple of times before Will wound up moving out of the neighborhood, because it was summertime. He heard gunfire all the time. He didn't feel safe after a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go, you know, several times, like when he came out to visit, I would drive him back in just to make sure he got there safely, and or I might drop something off to him. Still never quite knowing, okay, I feel some fear coming over here, but I sense that God would have me do something, but what do I do? And so all those thoughts were going through my head when I took that drive home, and any time I went over there. Didn't quite know how to wrap my arms around the situation, the issue, what seemed to be the problem.
Was there a feeling of helplessness?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And what
definitely.
Do I do now?
Yeah,
because
what
you're
do I
really
do?
Between a rock and a hard place, but you attended an annual leadership summit at your church. World and country leaders shared their turning point moments, moments that wrecked and rocked their world. They shared their moments that forced them to look at those less fortunate and inspired them to do something. We were challenged to do whatever it is we believed God was leading us to do. Just imagine now, divine intervention, a woman, a cigarette. And at that moment, Rika began to tremble. She knew what God was asking her to do ever since she was led to and laid eyes on that South Chicago neighborhood. You had a moment of self-awareness. You asked yourself, did you have the courage to venture into a dangerous neighborhood? Did you?
I did, as long as I didn't have to stay.
Well, Mom, I need to digress for a moment. How long did Will stay in the godforsaken place until he decided, whoa, this ain't for me?
He was there for, I wouldn't say it was longer than 2 or 3 months.
Really?
So
where did
fall,
he move?
By fall, he had moved.
And he moved into a safer neighborhood. However, today, again, I digress. I don't know if any neighborhood is safe today.
Right.
But you did wonder if you would be killed in the process of answering the call to divine intervention. It was so far away from my home. Was it difficult to step out of your comfort zone and to traverse the abyss to get to where you are today in your spirituality?
Absolutely. And at one point, I remember sharing this with a girlfriend, and her initial comment to me was, what if you get killed?
Well.
And it came out of my mouth. If I'm doing Jesus' work, which is what I believe I'm to be doing, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the first one to say that. Now, does that mean that I put myself, I'm not conscious of my surroundings wherever I am? As you said earlier, you can be unsafe anywhere. No, I'm fully conscious of where I am. Now, I have to admit, the one time that I could not get a parking space right in front of the shelter that I started working with, and had to park about a block and a half away and then walk back, I was absolutely terrified. I made it, though, to the shelter, did what I went there to do, and made it back to my car. But I was terrified that I had to walk, you know, beyond just getting out of my car, across the sidewalk, up the stairs, into the shelter.
Mm. Something that we all take for granted and do every day. But now your pastor has a saying, only God. And mm-hmm. I would have an only God moment. And while you were waiting at a red light in a very secure, in your very secure neighborhood, why did you hand a fistful of change to a man soliciting for funds in exchange for a piece of candy?
Well, I had seen these men collecting many times. And many times I had just reached out, and if I had some change or a dollar handy, I would give it to the person. And sometimes they'd give me, they would always offer the lollipop, and sometimes I, you know, would say, no, I don't want it. I think they might have handed me a piece of paper telling me who they were, but, you know, never really paid any attention to it, stuck it in my little side pocket trash bin. And this particular day, you know, I had no idea where they were from. I never really paid any attention to that piece of paper. I took a piece of paper again, one of their little flyers, and it said something about the South Side. So the light was still red, and I asked the gentleman, what is this? And he said, this is a women's and men's shelter. These are women's and men's shelters on the South Side. And I'm telling you, I choked up because I thought to myself, this was my end.
This is where you needed to go.
This is where I needed to go.
Your path. Now, I need to ask you, Bill, your husband, supportive, does he embrace your mission and your passion?
He absolutely did and does. And I'll tell you, it took me the longest time, Kathy, to tell him that this is what I believed I was to do, mm-hmm. because I was fearful that he would tell me no. He had told me no on a number of occasions not to do something. I wanted to go, you know, to do some help with some relief efforts after a hurricane. They said, but there's no electricity. They said, no, there's no, you can't, I don't want you to go. He was fearful for me. But in this instance, when I shared with him with, you know, non-emotional way, in a thoughtful way, I shared with him what it was I felt strongly I needed to do, he actually said, you know, go for it.
Now, it's been 5 years since you took the first hour and a half long drive from your home to the South Side Women's Shelter. God cleared the way. The driving is nothing now. And my desire to do something, to inspire the women at the shelter to believe in themselves and that they can make it, remains unyielding. This is Rika Cuff, Divine Intervention. Eagerly pursuing God's will, not her own, Rika's mission is to help shelter moms meet their basic needs of good jobs, child care, and housing. Her accomplishments and awards through her career in broadcasting and senior care have been numerous. Rika received the Local Hero Award for her dedication and commitment to seniors, and she received the Freedoms Foundation George Washington Award Honor Medal for Volunteerism and Community Service. You're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio. Get your pen and pad out. After the show, give us about 10 or 15 minutes. The show is archived. You could hear this over and over and over again. Blog Talk Radio is a strong communicator reaching out with frequency. It's a powerful marketing and PR tool. The whole world will hear Rika's story. Log on blogtalkradio.com/Kathy Watson, CathiWhatson, and click on December 18th. Now forward that link to your email database and ask them to forward the link to their email database, and so on and so on. And before you know it, within minutes, we have circled the world. And Rika's voice will be heard. Bring us up to date, Rika. What is Will doing today?
Will is now married with three children. And guess what? He's living in a bit safer section of South Side Chicago. Doing
what
well.
Great. And
yeah,
what is your
mission? And he's determined that he's going to make it work, and he continues to follow that path.
Now, what path are you following? Give us your agenda.
What I'm doing at the moment and have been for the past year or so is transcribing and dissecting interviews that I did with several dozen women at the shelter over the course of a 9-month period, telling their stories, allowing people who have no idea who these faces are when they go different places, particularly when they're driving through rougher areas where they have their windows up and they're not really experiencing or touching the world, they're just looking at what they see. And giving them an opportunity to understand, hear about the lives of particularly women who are having difficulty just surviving. Why? And what they're doing about it. And those are the three things that we're going to hear. Their story, how they got to where they are, where they see themselves going, and how they plan to get there. In addition to that, identifying ways to raise money for the shelter so that it is a place where women, even though they're only permitted to stay there with their children 3 months, mm-hmm. and their help to get on their feet, will have a greater space to live in, because right now the space is not that great, and also better, more efficient services.
We've got about a minute and 20 seconds. Can you share with us one success story coming out of the shelter to give help and hope to those who feel so abandoned and they don't know what to do? What advice would you give to women today?
I would say, and are you asking me when it comes to a female, a woman in particular?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two things. One, do not look to a man to make your life, make yourself complete. While I believe we are to be with a man, we are to still stand on our own 2 feet and not lean on him to provide our every need. And number two, learn how to be self-sufficient at the same time you are respectful of the man's role in your life.
All right, darling, we have 20 seconds. What parting words do you have to the world? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. 10 seconds.
A reminder, that you're only one, but you are one, and God has a plan for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We've been listening to Rika Cuff, Divine Interventions, Choices Available at Author House. Thank you. Au revoir.
Thank you. Thank you.